Good evening. I'm Steve Scherr with Nancy Pearl on this Monday night on KUOW. You know what is great about this time of the year? Giving. And you know what's fun to give? Books. So we thought we'd take the hour to talk about some great book gift ideas and talk about some of the great books of 2013. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Steve.
Nancy Pearl is the author of the Book Lust series. She is also the host of Book Lust with Nancy Pearl on the Seattle Channel, a regular Friday contributor to the Record on KUOW. She is our librarian with that portfolio.
Love it.
You had this idea because have you been thinking about books you wanted to give folks?
Yes. I'm always thinking about books that I want to give folks.
Really? Do you like walk into a bookstore and say, oh, you know who would like this?
But you know, yes, I do. But I think in more general terms, I think like, oh, anybody who likes character-driven fiction would really like this. Or I think anybody who's going on a trip for Christmas, for the holidays, and needs a good airplane read, oh, this would be great for them. Oh, anybody who likes historical mysteries. You know, that's the kind of divisions I do.
I saw you, we were looking through our shelves, and you had a book that I wasn't familiar with, and you said, oh, it's a fast, right, entertaining read.
Right.
What was that book?
James Rollins.
No, I don't know James Rollins.
Yeah.
R-O-L-L-I-N-S. James,
yeah,
Rollins.
Yeah. It sort of comes out of the Dan Brown school. So, you know, one of those authors that if you like Dan Brown, this is the kind of book, a book by James Rollins would be a good choice.
Do you remember what that book was called?
No, but
I'll look
it's
it
his newest one.
It's his newest one. It just came out.
With Rebecca Cantrell, I think, was the joint author on that.
Why are authors doing this so
often? Oh, you know, that's so interesting. I mean, like James Patterson, now there should be like the school of James Patterson. Like, you know, those artists who had so many apprentices working.
Oh, that's what
them.
It is. So yeah. That's just a little bit like these guys.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I would get in big trouble for saying the Rembrandts of their time. Yeah, no, that's probably not right. But yes, you know what? This will only work if you join us. So we would like you to give us a call. Tell us about the reader in your life and what books they have liked in the past. And maybe Nancy will have some suggestions. Maybe you'll have some suggestions as well. Our number is 206-543-5869. That's right, a call-in, 9 o'clock on a Monday night. We're going old school. 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. And you can also email us and... Yes, I know I'm going a little old school here too, but you can email us because it still exists. weekday@kuow.org. That's a nice, healthy email address. So send us an email, book suggestions, book questions. A little later, we're going to talk about the best books of 2013 and would like to know what you've been reading in 2013. I put that up on my Facebook page, KUOW Steve, and I'll read some of your answers there as well and get some more from you. Are there particular, when you first said this to me, gift books,
mm-hmm,
I was thinking, now, is Nancy talking about like, you know, those big books with the illustrated gold leaf and illustrated manuscripts, you know, a gift,
yeah,
book?
Yeah, right, right. No. In a word, no. Do you think anyone's going to call? Do you think people are actually up?
Yes, Nancy, people are up at 9 o'clock at night. What time do you go to bed?
Well, you know, like 4:30 in the afternoon, I'm thinking, oh, not too much longer before till I can go to sleep.
No, come on. I bet you're always going out.
No, are you kidding? I never go anywhere.
You don't go out and see authors?
No. No, I don't.
When do you record the TV show, Book Lust with Nancy Pearl on the Seattle Channel?
Well, we do that just once a month.
I thought, but that's in the evening, isn't it?
No, in the mornings.
Oh, you fooled me.
In the mornings.
It was such an evening kind of show. I thought you were doing that in the evening.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, how weird.
Why?
I don't know. It seemed like a late night sort of thing.
Oh. No, this is more a late night.
And a late night feel. So, James Rollin, was it The Eye of God, a Sigma Force novel? No, that wasn't the one you had.
No, I don't know.
James Rollins. International thrillers that have been translated into 40 languages.
Yeah.
He is of a school.
I think the Dan Brown School of Hard Knocks.
The Dan Brown
of Fort
School of
Knox.
Hard Knocks? Why? What do you mean?
No, that just came.
All right.
I mean, it's because I'm giddy because it's so late.
It's so late. Well, you know, I just, there are so many, I guess, writers like this right now.
Yes.
Well, you said the Dan Brown School. So, yeah, okay. What's that all about?
Well, you know, they're very plot based. They're very, very, very plot driven. So they don't take a lot of time to read. So you can immerse yourself in the movement of the plot and not have to be concerned with a lot of narrative frills or, you know, descriptions. It's just going to keep you absolutely moving through that book, as opposed to a book like Donna Tartt's new novel, The Goldfinch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I mean, many things happen. It's a very, you know, everybody has been saying it's a very Dickensian plot. Lots of events, lots of coincidences, lots of characters, lots of meetings up and leaving and different things. But it isn't what you would call a fast-moving book at all.
Hmm. Well, we're going to come back to that Donna Tartt book, okay. So I'm curious about that. But our people listening, don't forget to turn your radio down when we get you on the phone, so you don't get that weird feedback or that time distortion that we get otherwise. So our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. We thought this is great for the holiday season. So what are some great books to give this holiday season? Rich is in Interbay. Hello, Rich.
Hi.
Good to talk to you.
I'm a grandfather, and I'd like to get a gift for my son to read to his little girls. Their ages 4, 5, 6. And they're currently working through the Oz books. And wow. I'm looking for something that they'll be happy to follow that up with.
Well, there's a book that I would suggest, which I think all those ages would enjoy, is My Father's Dragon. Uh-huh. By Ruth Gannett, G-A-N-N-E-T-T. And there's three books altogether. Maybe it's a trilogy now. But I read that when I was about six. And it was one of the first chapter books that I read. And it's just a really fun read aloud as well. And it's about a little boy named Elmer Elevator. Do you remember that book?
I love those books.
Yeah.
We read those to my boys. Yeah. Elmer and the Dragon and the Dragons of Blue Land.
Yes.
I especially remember the Dragons of Blue Land.
Yeah.
That is a nice, those were all great books.
Yes.
Did you say, Rich, that your kids were working through the Oz series? Are you reading that to them?
They're not my kids. They're my grandkids.
But your grandkids,
Their dad is reading them to them. My son.
Mm-hmm.
I read to him at night, and now he's reading to his girls.
Did you read him those books, the Oz series books?
I didn't. We got into the, you know, the Tolkien series and, you know, and Kipling and all of that. But I think I did The Wizard of Oz, but not the whole series.
Yeah, it's a long series. And some of the later ones weren't even written by L. Frank Baum.
But, is that right?
Yes. But, yeah, they were written by somebody named Ruth something. But my favorite has always been Ozma of Oz.
Oh, what was that one? I don't know.
Oh, that's a really good one. That's when all of Dorothy's friends are turned into knickknacks, and she gets so many, you know, like 10 guesses to recover her friends from this huge, big rooms of knickknacks, and she has to guess which her friends have been turned into. I distinctly remember that.
That sounds fun. That sounds like a fun book. All right, cool.
And yeah, I'm sure we'll come up.
Many thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sure we'll come up with other good books to read aloud for those ages. Some of the other callers.
That's a great one. All right, we're taking some calls from you about some great gift book ideas. So the readers you're thinking about, or the books you like to read, and we'll kick around some ideas for that. Barb's in Renton. Hi, Barb. Barb, you with us? Oh, I've lost Barb. All right, we'll find her later. Let me ask you something about gifts.
Uh-huh.
I get nervous sometimes when I'm going to give a book to somebody because, you know, I may have loved it, but...
Yeah, in some ways you have to, as with all the kinds of book suggestions that you give to people, and if you're giving them the book, you have to kind of take yourself out of the equation and think about the kind of reader that they are, or what they would use this book for. You know, are they going to use it for again a plane trip, or do they want something? You know, are they going through a difficult time? Do they want something lighter? Or are they ready to really take on a heavy kind of thing? Or maybe, you know, they want to read a classic, or you know, they've said something about that.
Yeah. Do you have an example? Have you been thinking about, like, past books you've given? Do you remember any you've given?
Well, see, nobody will let me give them books anymore.
Why not?
Because, I mean, they think that's too easy.
Oh.
They're tired of getting books from
me. I see. Oh, Nancy's giving us another book.
Yeah, right. Oh, another book. Oh, Mom, don't you think you'd give me something else?
Oh, that's terrible.
I wanted sheepskin slippers. What'd you get me these for? I wanted Ugg boots.
Do you give books to your children?
Well, I send them to them during the year when I run
across
something, but I try to avoid that at Christmas.
I see. What about people you just sort of know? Again, you're trying to figure out, well,
yes. Yeah.
What are you doing? What's right. In your life?
Right.
So you don't give books that are necessarily too heavy?
No. Well, it depends. But generally, I mean, if I know, like, you know, I have one very good friend, and I really know what kind of books she would like. And so it's easy to, I mean, whether I give her the physical book or just say, oh, you've got to read this book. I know.
Me? What would you recommend? Knowing what little things I've been reading lately.
Wow.
Would you like to think about that?
No, I know what I would. I know what I would recommend.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, I would recommend a mystery called "The Cold, Cold Ground" by Adrian McKinty, McKinty. It's the start of a trilogy called the Troubles Trilogy, and it's set in 1981 in Belfast. And the main character is a detective with the Royal Ulster Constabulary, the
really?
RUC. And that was a heavily Protestant police force at that time. And he's Catholic. So there's the whole, so religion and daily life are kind of intertwined. I mean, the police have a very, very, I mean, they're operating under very difficult situations. They have to, they drive around in armored Land Rovers. This is set at the time when Bobby Sands dies following his hunger strike. And so the mystery in this is less the major thing than the whole milieu. So I think you would like that.
That sounds very good.
Yes.
All right, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, all three of them are great.
Nancy Pearl is a librarian without portfolio. She is a regular on The Record on KUOW Seattle. We're going to take your calls about some books that you like to give, or books that you are thinking about giving. Maybe you have a person in mind. And we want you to give us a call at 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. Or you can email us weekday at kuow.org. I know it's at night and this isn't weekday, but it's a very useful email address. This is KUOW. From KUOW Seattle, I'm Steve Scher with Nancy Pearl. We're taking your calls tonight about some great gift book ideas, suggestions you may want. Maybe you have your own. 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Or you can email us. We have an email address, weekday at kuow.org. I know that sounds familiar and odd, but there you are. Here, Christopher wrote this. I got caught up in the middle brow, Jonathan Troper.
Uh-huh.
Bought one on an Amazon $1.99 sale and then steamrolled through his entire output in a few weeks. Not my typical read, but I don't regret it. Nice break from lots of nonfiction.
Yeah, he's fun.
I don't know him. Is he another mystery writer?
No.
Who is he?
A British, kind of ruefully humorous.
Ah.
Or humorously rueful.
Any titles come to mind? Ruefully humorous is just excellent.
Yeah, ruefully humorous.
I'm looking them up.
Okay.
And while I look them up, I'd like some ideas for a person who has liked the Game of Thrones series of books.
Okay, here's the best suggestion.
Here's the deal.
What? No, here's here's the deal.
Doing Ross Perot. Here's the deal.
The Patrick Rothfuss books. There's two of them in what's going to be a longer series. So I would do that one absolutely. Start with the first one. They're big. They're great fantasies. And I think they'd be very good for Game of Thrones readers, for people who love the Game of Thrones. George R. R. Martin did a blog post at one time, where he listed books that he would recommend to people who liked his own books.
Oh, that's nice.
And we should try to find that because, you know, he thinks of his books in many ways as historical fiction. And so the top book that he suggests is a fictional story of one of the queens of French aristocracy, basically. Are we trying to find that?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Okay.
Books like Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin's recommendation.
Yeah.
However, it's a Huntington Post site, and you know how long that can take sometimes.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Maurice Druon, Druon. That's the first book or one of the first books that he suggests for people who like his book. And they've just reissued. It's just now become widely available. I mean, an American publisher has published the book. So we can now get it easily. Before it was, we had to get it from England and that was very difficult.
Daniel Abraham, Patrick Rothfuss, Joe Abercrombie, especially Best Served Cold and The Heroes.
Now, is that by him? What he recommends.
These are his recommendations.
Really?
Well, unless I'm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is some of the ones he likes.
Okay. The first one is The Iron King.
Yeah.
That's the one that you want to, that I would suggest.
By Maurice Druon.
Right.
Druon.
Right.
Maurice Druon.
Yep.
All right, that's neat. And may I say that Patrick Rothfuss is one interesting-looking dude on his webpage.
Oh, really?
The Wise Man's Fear.
Yes.
Well, think of somebody who might be playing one of the dwarfs in the new Tolkien movie. All right? That might be good. All right. We're taking your calls, too. Barb is in Renton. Hello, Barb.
Hello.
Oh, Barb, again.
How are you? You called back.
Okay.
I appreciate that. What are you reading?
I was calling. Oh, sorry.
Oh, turn your radio down once you're on the phone with us. Otherwise, you'll get that weird time lapse.
Okay.
See, how's that? It's better. Now we're in the same time period.
Oh, good. So I was calling. I have a son who's 19, and I love to read, and he loves to read, but only books that he's really interested in. So he liked the Percy Jackson series. He liked the Alex Rider series. He liked the Hunger Games. He likes history, so I'm trying to get him into another series.
Hmm.
Hmm. Well, how old is he again?
He's 19.
Okay. So, I mean, what the caller who you just talked to, the Game of Thrones, has he tried those, the George R. R. Martin series?
No, and I really love the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... Yeah, I think he might enjoy that, too. I might give that a try, since it has a bit of everything in it.
It does, and it's very historical. I mean, you know, it's based on the Wars of the Roses, loosely based on the Wars of the Roses, the Lannisters and the Starks rather than the Lancasters and the Yorks. So that would be one suggestion. Another suggestion would be Beyond Heaven by Guy Gavriel K. G-G-K. Guy Gavriel K-A-Y is his last name. And he writes historical fantasy and just does a ton of research and then sets his books during particular periods in history.
Yeah, you have liked him a lot.
I have.
You have recommended him often. Have you read a lot of his books?
All his books.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I feel like I'm one of his biggest fans.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So the newest one, I mean, the newest one is set in China. Beyond Heaven, the one that just preceded that was also set in China. Another one of my favorites of his is Last Light of the Sun. And the main characters in these books are generally young men. So I think your son might like those. Mistborn. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I love giving books as gifts. I'm always disappointed when I don't get books.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
I think I'm going to have to buy myself some books this year and
do it.
And wrap them up.
Hey, Barb, thanks. That's good too. Tell me something. Since you mentioned that these are young men heroes, and of course, The Hunger Game, young women heroes, but anything equivalent that's coming out that captivates you for young, where the heroines are young women? Wow.
The young women.
Yeah.
One of the young women.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everyone is still, I think, trying to replicate the success of Suzanne Collins in The Hunger Games. So and generally what I'm finding just from my own reading is that I'm really enjoying the first in the trilogy, in all these new trilogies, but then I'm feeling not as happy with the second and third. So, you know, Matched is a very good read-alike for The Hunger Games. The Divergent series by Veronica Roth is another really good read-alike. People who loved The Hunger Games, that's another one to offer them. For Marie Lu's books, they have one-word titles. L-U is her last name. Those would also be good for that middle, you know, kind of mid-teen group of people. But I talk about this, I think, every year, Sunshine by Robin McKinley is like the best vampire book ever written.
I must read those.
You must. I just love that book.
Robin McKinley, huh?
Yeah.
Alec, you mentioned Alex Rider, spy novels, and I see 14, 15 year old spy named Alex Rider.
Right, so young James Bond.
A young James Bond.
But the author of those books, Anthony Horowitz, is the guy who wrote Inspector Foyle, that BBC series so wonderful.
And you feel they hold up? The Alex Rider to Foyle, there's some intelligence and maturity in there.
And another one that I would be another series that I would be remiss in not mentioning are the books by John Flanagan. These are just enormously popular with 12, 13, 14-year-olds especially. And I first heard about John Flanagan when I was in Australia, and we would talk about, you know, what would be good books for early teens to read for boys. And they all said, oh, John Flanagan. And then finally they were available here. There's also another terrific series that begins with a book called The False Prince. Oh, which is just so good. And the third one in that is just coming out this spring. But the nice thing about reading a series that's done is that then you don't have to wait years and years and years in between.
That's Jennifer A. Nielsen, huh?
Yes.
All right, very cool.
Oh, and here's another.
Look at you, man. Somebody struck gold.
I know, they're just coming up. another really, you asked about great books with young women as the heroine, new ones. There's a book called Serafina, which has just a terrific main character. And Tamara Pierce's books, you can't go wrong with those. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Serafina by Rachel Hartman.
Uh-huh.
What's
Rachel
that
Hartman.
About?
It's a book about a young woman who lives, it's a fantasy, and she has a secret that she is not allowed to tell anybody, because if she tells them, she will not be accepted in this society.
Cool.
It's great.
Aragon author Christopher Paolini calls them some of the most interesting dragons I've read in fantasy.
Well, he should know.
How old
is he? 22.
Very cool. Nancy Pearl's with us. We're talking about some books, great gift book ideas. Aaron's in West Seattle. Aaron, you have a recommendation for us.
I do. And actually, it kind of falls in line with what you were just talking about.
The book is called Looking for Jane, and it is by a woman named Judith Redline Coopy. And the book is basically about a young woman who gets in her mind that Calamity Jane is her mother and sets out on this adventure to find her. And it's kind of like a female version of, kind of Huckleberry Finn, but she's a really fun and interesting character, and the characters she meets are fabulous. And I've read a couple other books by the same author, all historical fiction, but really good, fun, fast reads with great female leads.
Cool.
So that's how you came to this one. How'd you come to the author itself? Do you remember?
I had gotten a recommendation about a book about the Underground Railroad, and it was called Redfield Farm. And that's how I found the author in the first place, which led me to her second and now her third book.
Great. Hey, thanks. Good suggestion.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're taking your suggestions, your thoughts. Maybe you have somebody you want to give a book to and you want some other ideas. Hans is in Bellingham. Hello, Hans.
Hi, Steve.
Good to talk to you.
I've got two suggestions for you, one for fiction and one for nonfiction.
Great.
So the first fiction book is by Bob Sachakawas, called The Woman Who Lost Her Soul.
Oh, Hans, that's one of my top 10 books.
Excellent book. I can't say enough about it. It seamlessly moves between Haiti in the 1990s into post-war Croatia, which I actually read it on an e-reader sitting on the beach in Croatia, and on through modern times, and can't say enough about it.
You have said that before, that this is one of your favorite books.
Yeah, it's a terrific, I thought it was a terrific novel.
I first got onto it, actually, by an interview by Jackie Lydon, so anyone who's interested in it can look her up on Weekend All Things Considered.
Yeah.
And then for the nonfiction book, The Emerald Mile, which is a tale about the fastest ride down the Grand Canyon in a dory, and the disastrous heavy winter runoffs that almost took down the Grand Canyon Dam and made the conditions right for the ride down the river.
Wow.
Very cool book.
How'd you come to that book?
That book, I read a review of it in one of my favorite publications, the High Country News.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And one of the other outstanding features is I study bibliographies. And I have like a 20-book reading list off of its bibliography. Very well documented, and not to mention extremely well written. So,
Hans, thanks a lot.
Great.
Very nice. You know, I'm going to come back to nonfiction in a moment. In the tradition of The Perfect Storm and Seabiscuit is what one reviewer says about The Emerald Mile, the epic story of the fastest ride in history through the heart of the Grand Canyon. Tony's in West Seattle. I'm with Nancy Pearl on a Monday night on KUOW. Hello, Tony.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What are you thinking about? A little poetry, huh?
I'm thinking about poetry. This one author just talked to me personally. Unfortunately, he's been dead for years. But nevertheless, what he wrote, if a person has any kind of imagination at all, when they read his poems, they can see as though they're traveling along in a train, in a plane, in a car, whatever they're driving down, and they can see the West up in the north, Alaska, Yukon Territory.
Quit your teasing. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Robert Service.
Yeah. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. I have a friend who can do that poem at the drop of a hat. We should all have a Robert Service poem memorized, I think.
How about the lady known as Lou?
Give me a few lines.
I can't remember it all. Of you get to be 78 and you can't remember anything. You know, when you try and when you hang up the phone, oh, there it is.
So if somebody likes Robert Service, anybody Bert. coming to mind for you? Anybody else? We can just go back to the era, I suppose.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody who wrote poems like Robert Service except Kipling.
I was going to say
about a totally different geographical area.
That is bizarre, because that's who I was going to say was Rudyard Kipling. Who is just Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I appreciate that, Tony.
That's wonderful.
And I'm sorry. And hunger not of the belly kind that's banished with bacon and beans, but the gnawing hunger of lonely men for a home and all that it means. He was pretty good. He's good to have late at night around the campfire, I think.
In your back pocket.
In your back pocket. Or if you have the internet just right in front of you.
Right.
Lori's in Bothell. Hello, Lori.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
So my husband is a voracious reader. He reads all kinds of things, but what I would think would be lots of fun is to find a new author for him, and I can give you a few, like three authors' names that might give you an idea. He loves great writing. You know, he's really appreciates great style. So he's a great fan of Robertson Davies, of David Payne. Are you familiar with David Payne? American Dallas on Wall Street. And Lynn Sharon Schwartz.
Uh-huh.
Disturbances in the Field.
Oh, yeah, that's fabulous book.
He loves her writing. He's read everything by her, everything by David Payne, everything by Robertson Davies. And I'm just like, I want to find something new that might, you know, really grab him. He also loves sci-fi, and he loves Robert Sawyer because he thinks he's a very good writer. So, I don't know. Or just anything that's really cerebral, you know, Brainiac. I say, there you are with your Brainiac books again. Yeah.
Well, okay, so somebody that I would suggest is Richard Powers.
Okay.
And a couple of books by him stand out. He's going to be here at Town Hall January 29th. And
for his new book that you said you really like.
No, I haven't read it yet. I'm saving it.
You handed it to me and said I should read it. Oh, because you like Powers.
Yeah, because I like Powers. And I'm going to interview him at Town Hall. So that's why I'm going to read it for sure.
That's great.
The Time of Our Singing is one, which is, and they're very, each of his books is kind of about, maybe with the exception of The Time of Our Singing, but they're all about a kind of, a scientific something, like I'm not doing a good job doing this because I'm just should be asleep right now. Let's see. So The Time of Our Singing is about the civil rights movement and, but they're very, very, very intelligent books. And, Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance, which I think was his first novel is about that painting. Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance, which I think is Bruegel, I think. And so there's all of those things. One that I really liked is Galatea 2.0, which is about a guy who's majoring in English, who's trying to train a computer to be able to pass a master's degree in English exam.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
And
teacher.
Oh, yeah, this would be really good. Yes.
And he's also cyber crazy. So
oh, no, Galatea 2.2. Yeah, Galatea 2.2. And it's based on the old myth of Galatea, who falls in love with her creator. And I mean, he's so smart. So that would be a good one. Another good author, because his writing is so, so, so wonderful, is T.C. Boyle.
I was going to say T.C. Boyle.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thomas Boyle. T.C. Boyle. B-O-Y-L-E. And the one that I would do is his collected short stories.
Okay.
And he has a new collection out, and it's just fabulous. I think it's called Recently Collected Short Stories or something.
Great.
Yeah. The collection of his that I absolutely love is called After the Plague.
Yeah.
And other stories, and that's just fabulous. So... And once, you know, if you know that he likes T.C. Boyle, there's a ton of novels as well.
That he's written, yeah.
As Richard.
By the way,
Powers.
You're right. T.C. Boyle, stories too.
Yeah, right.
Very good. All right. Thanks a lot for that, Lori. Well, we'll take a break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about the best books of 2013, and then more of your questions and suggestions for great gift books. This is KUOW. from 94.9 KUOW Seattle. I'm Steve Scher with Nancy Pearl, the librarian without portfolio, because she doesn't need one, author of the Book Lust series, host of the Seattle Channel's Book Lust with Nancy Pearl, talking to us about some of the best books of 2013.
Well, people who've listened to us talk on the record most recently and before that on Weekday this year, I probably can name these books that are on my list for instead of my saying them. These are my favorite books of the year. I'm not going to pretend they're the best. I could make a good claim that they're the best books of the year, but it's just, these are the books that I really enjoyed and that I continue to think about a lot. And the two nonfiction books that, that I think are just absolutely must reads. The first one is by Sherry Fink, 5 Days at Memorial, which is really, in 2/3 of that book is, Sherry Fink is a reporter, an investigative reporter. 2/3 of the book, 5 Days at Memorial, are almost an hour by hour, minute by minute account of the events at Memorial Hospital in New Orleans as they get the news that Hurricane Katrina is approaching, and then when the storm hits and the aftermath. The second, the 1/3 of the book, the last 1/3 of the book, is an account of the legal case that followed a doctor and two nurses being accused of injecting their patients with a fatal dose of drugs to euthanize them. And this is a book, I was reading this book at the same time that I was reading The Woman Who Lost Her Soul. I would put down, when one got too intense, I would put it down and pick up the other one.
Wow.
And they were both, I mean, the way I would describe both of them was just riveting. 5 Days at Memorial is like the best kind of thriller. You just cannot put it down. You want to know what happened. And plus, it raises all of these really, really important questions about, ethical and moral questions. In an emergency, who do you save? You know, in a hospital situation or in triage, in a war, who do you, you know, we know that there, you have to ignore some people who are dying because you want to rescue the people who you want to deal with, treat the people who might survive. But in a medical situation like during Hurricane Katrina, what were they to do? How were they to decide who got evacuated? Those people who would survive, or those people who were the sickest? Just issues like that really make you think about your own feelings about that. And the other thing that I think is so amazing about this book is that she makes no judgment on what happened.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sorry.
I've heard her interviewed.
Yeah.
And she's very careful about that.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Yeah, she present, you know, she says, this is what happened. And then she just leaves it up to the reader to make a decision about, to judge for themselves about the guilt or the not guilt, or who was at fault, all those kinds of issues. And you know, we live here. I mean, I thought it was very interesting because this was a kind of natural disaster that people knew was going to happen. I mean, the levees had broken in previous hurricanes. So they knew that that was going to happen, and yet there was no disaster plan in place. Well, you know, I kept thinking, well, we live in an area that is going to get an earthquake. And are there disaster plans in place at the hospitals, for example? And, you know, something you don't think about until you read a book like this. This is on many, many, many people's best books, you know, best books of 2013, as it should be. I thought this was just an amazing book.
What was your other nonfiction?
The other one is called Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson. And, of course, Peter O'Toole just died, who did such a fabulous job playing T.E. Lawrence. And even though Peter O'Toole was like 6'2 and T.E. Lawrence was like 5'4, so that was kind of interesting. But Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson does something that other books about T.E. Lawrence haven't done, and his autobiography didn't do, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, which is that he puts T.E. Anderson in context with the other young men. They were all quite young when they were dividing up the Ottoman Empire and playing spies and all of that at that time. And so you really get a sense of the whole context, the whole place, what that was like. And talking about good writing, Scott Anderson is a terrific writer.
Is that right?
Well,
mm-hmm. Well, that's such a great character and such a great time.
Mm-hmm. It is. And there's a wonderful novel about the end of the Ottoman Empire that's a few years old, but just, again, wonderful writing, wonderful historical novel called Birds Without Wings, by Philip de Bernières, who wrote Corelli's Mandolin.
Really?
Yeah.
I never even heard about that.
Oh, Birds Without Wings was such a terrific book. And woven in this kind of history of the Ottoman Empire, what happened in Turkey especially is a biography of Ataturk. And of course our feelings about Ataturk have changed considerably. I think society's opinion of Ataturk, the general way we have of thinking about it.
Did we not think of him as the George Washington of Turkey?
Well, but
50
I'm not,
years ago, 100 years
oh,
ago?
I think they do. I think, but now I think that there's some, what is
oh,
that
a
called?
Little pushback?
Yeah.
Revisionism?
Revisionism, yes, about Ataturk.
I think I've read
something like that.
Do you have a couple of fiction books?
I do have a couple of fiction books. And one of was The Woman Who Lost Her Soul, which I thought was amazing. It's not always an easy book to read, the section in Croatia, World War II Croatia, difficult to read. Some of the relationships are very difficult to read about, but I thought that was a just an amazing book. The other book that I would say, which I think maybe is, well, oh, all right, one of the two best novels of the year. One is A Woman Who Lost Her Soul. The other is Americana by the Nigerian writer Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, which I think talks about race. It's about a Nigerian woman who comes to the United States to go to school and begins a blog about non-American blacks, you know. And we don't, we, first of all, in our society, we have very specific ways of talking about race, but it's very hard for people to step outside of this very American way of looking at race and race relations and racial issues. And I think Adichie just offers a different way. I mean, there's things that she talks about race that I think most people, including myself, had never really thought about until she raised those issues.
That sounds great.
And plus, it's just a fabulous novel. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
It's on many people's lists,
it is.
Too. I find that fascinating.
It is.
And so is Shakoches'
yeah.
book. And that came out, went early in 2013, didn't it?
August maybe.
No.
Americana came out early. I think the Shakoches' book came out a little bit later. But I could be wrong.
I will take you up on that. Has there been anything special about this year in terms of trends, in terms of what you haven't enjoyed maybe, or what you have enjoyed that has been surprising to you?
Well, I think the thing that I always have a little bit of trouble with is the kind of copycat nature of writing and publishing, that if somebody makes a big splash with a book, everybody is trying to find another author who will do that. And it certainly happens in the teen section, and it certainly happens with kids, and it happens with adult books as well. And they're just not the kind of books that I'm interested in, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there have been a lot of great books this year. I mean, you've told me about a lot of them already, and there have been some pretty amazing ones.
And you know, the New York Times list of 100 books that we talked about before. And then yesterday in the Sunday book section, their 10 best books of the year. And one of them was Americana, and another one was The 5 Days at Memorial, I think.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
Nancy Pearl reads books. She's also a librarian without portfolio, author of the Book Lust series. Let me grab a few more calls. I know we're not going to get to all your calls. I apologize for that, folks, but that happens. There's a lot of demand for good talk about good books.
There is.
Vicky's on Camino Island. Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
Thanks for holding. What are you thinking about?
Well, there's a book I've given to a couple of friends already, and at Thanksgiving, I told someone about this book, and then I heard him telling his son that he had dibs on giving this book to some other family. And it's called William Shakespeare's Star Wars by Ian Dosher.
Hey, Vicky. I recognize your voice.
William Shakespeare. You guys know each other?
Yeah.
William Shakespeare's Star Wars? What's that?
William Shakespeare's Star Wars, and it's the movie Star Wars, A New Hope, written as a Shakespeare play.
Oh, I'd never even heard of that. Good to know.
It came out this summer, I think, and it's by by a guy in Portland, Oregon, and it's really well done, and it's really great to read aloud.
That sounds fun.
As Nancy knows, I'm a children's librarian, and I've got a bunch of kids at my library all excited about performing at least part of this play.
Wow.
Oh, on Camino Island, you're going to do that?
In Stanwood.
On Stanwood? How fun. I hope you put some of that up on the interwebs.
Tonight is Shakespeare's birthday.
Oh, really?
I see.
Yes.
Very fun.
Good.
All right. Ian Desher. Star Wars, A New Hope. William Shakespeare's Star Wars.
One really interesting thing about it is that R2-D2 has soliloquies.
in English, not beeping?
Mostly he beeps, but every now and then he has a soliloquy, and it's really amazing.
That's great. Hey, thank you for that, Vicky. I appreciate it. Kim's in Paulsbo, Kim?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Kim. I know Kim, too.
This is a convention of librarians.
So I was talking out with my daughter. We've been reading the Jasper Ford Song of the Court Beast that came out this year.
Uh-huh.
And she loves it. And I just wanted to call in and recommend the Jasper Ford, the Dragon Slayer, and then, of course, the Song of the Court Beast for, I guess like 10 and up.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Kim, because that's what I forgot when we were talking about strong female characters in fantasy, the Jasper Ford, F-F-O-R-D-E. The Dragon Slayer is the first one in this series, and Song of the Quark Beast is the second one. And he's just a brilliantly fun writer.
Really?
Yes.
And so I have to say, she's also started reading the Thursday Next series now.
Yes.
And,
That's great.
Because that's also by Jasper Ford?
Yeah. Those were his adult books, and then and then they've just started issuing his children's books as he's writing them.
That's great. Kim, thank you.
Oh, thank you. So, yes, it was a pleasure talking with you.
And you. Here, Charlotte says, here's a great read for you. Set way across the country, 1914, Lake Okeechobee, Florida, The River Way Home by Mary E. Dawson. You ever heard of it?
No.
Fascinating mix of forgotten history and some make-believe. I just thought I'd share that with you. A few Artemis Fowl recommendations. Have you read Esther Averill's about a small cat named Jenny Linsky?
Yes.
And her assortment of friends?
Yes.
Boy, once you talk about young adult fiction, people are ready to go.
The Averill books were recently reissued by New York Review Press.
Okay, here's two.
Jenny and the Cat Club, I think it's called.
That's great. All right, here's two tests for you at the end.
Oh, no.
Here. For people that really like Dorothy Dunnett, but have read all her books.
Oh, wow. You know what I would do, actually? I would go back to Guy Gavriel Kay. Because while they're not as narratively dense as Dorothy Dunnett's historical novels are, I think they capture some of the same feel and sort of bring a period alive the way that she does. That Dorothy Dunnett does.
Another author I don't know. Dorothy Dunnett.
When I did the Booklust books, there were I got a lot of letters from people, and a lot of people said, you know, why did you not include this book? Why did you not include that book? But the two authors that I got the most letters about leaving out, and one was by accident and one at that moment I hadn't read him. One was George R. R. Martin, who I had not read when I did Book Lust, and the other was Dorothy Dunnett, which was a total oversight on my part.
All right, and here from Steve. My boyfriend and I are going to Florence, Italy for the month of April. For Christmas, I want to give him a novel that takes place in Italy that he can either read in anticipation of going to Italy or while in Italy. Nothing too heavy, a page-turner, pretty easy read. Thanks.
You know, I'm sure one of the James Rollins books is set in Florence. Magdalene Nabb, N-A-B-B, writes a whole series of mysteries set in Florence. Oh, gosh. Do you know what I would do? Here's what I would either Google Florence mysteries, or I would call my local library and ask them to look for books set in Florence, and they will help you.
Any other Italy ones generally?
Oh, you know, there's terrific ones set in Venice. The ones by Donna Leon with Guido Brunetti, the detective in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What am I saying? Of course, not like the one set in Sicily.
Right.
By Andrea Camilleri.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. Tons of them. In Book Lust to Go, I think I have a whole section of Italian
stuff. Oh, there you go. So you could give Book Lust to Go.
Right.
As well. all right, folks. Thank you. That was fun. See, look at all. What are you saying?
I know.
People are up because they're just settling in to read. And they want to think about that.
People live a far more exciting life than I do.
Nancy Pearl lives her exciting life between the pages of books. Amin Asadi, Ann Kane, Bill O'Grady, Arvid Hokanson, Jeannie Andel, Kathy Duchamp helped make this show.